The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
There you have it. Sons of Apollo right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning to Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, hanging out with my guest ho-host, Phil Berger. Now hanging out with my third ho-host. Yeah, what's up? Matt Healy.
What's up?
What are you doing, man?
Well, you know, our good friend's coming on in a few minutes, so.
Yes, honey. It's so good to see you. You know I've missed you.
I'll be good.
Please be good. Those of you hanging out and tuning in, I know everybody's been waiting for this really cool and special moment. Sons of Apollo, they have an album that is dropping this coming Friday, October the 20th. Psychotic Symphony, and of course, Mike Portnoy, Derek Sherinian, Billy Sheehan, Jeff Scott Soto, and Ron Bumblefoot Foul.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we've got the very, very fortunate opportunity that we were able to track him down and we were able to have a nice little conversation with him. And it turns out Matt has spent some time with him.
Yes,
and so we actually surprised Bumblefoot, you know, with Mr. Healy being here in the studio. So we're going to go ahead and bring Bumblefoot in. How are you doing, baby?
I am good. What a surprise here. Matt, that was great.
He's doing great.
We definitely spent some time together. What, 2 months?
Well, we killed a bunch of people.
yeah, we murdered people in different spots.
We went on a death tour with Scott Stapp.
You guys are, stop it. What's up with the voice over here with him? I'm giving Matt Healy some hell. Honey, I want to thank you so much for stopping down and taking some time with us right here on Memphis Metal Mondays.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me on.
Are you kidding? You know, it's really cool. And of course, you know, it just so happened that everything kind of all coincided in the same couple of days. We had gotten in some music from Sons of Apollo. I had gotten introduced to you through Rob Machete, the Pain Method. I mean, it was like within a day or two, and it was like everything just kind of all melded together, and this was like kind of meant to happen. And
absolutely. There's this odd triangulation that occurred.
See?
I can use the word triangulation. He likes when I use words like that.
I do like it when you use words like that because
Bumble's got all the words.
I also one thing I do know about Bumble is that I also know some of his music is actually featured on Spaced Out Radio. I feel like
I'm coming at you from all sides now.
Watch what you say with her.
Coming at you through Machete. Coming at you through Sons of Apollo.
Yes.
Coming at you through Spaced Out Radio.
Yes.
I mean, just, you know, I'm like in your closet, under your bed, and peeking in your window.
God, I wish.
From your ceiling fan all at the same time.
Where's Big Brother?
Mine, I'm going to tell you, right? Would you? Listen, baby
Ron,
doll.
She's going to ask for a picture that says, Dirty D, you're my queen, and it's going to go above her bed. I'm warning you, it's happened before.
I'll take care of that, Ron.
Just so you know, I appreciate the fact the way you're talking and the fascinations of the all dimensions. Just so you know, we have a monster show here too. It's called The Existence of Strange Things, and we talk about all of the on Friday nights, starting at 10 p.m. and we talk to some really cool people and we talk weird stuff, we talk paranormal, we talk UFOs, we talk conspiracy theories, we talk about what didn't happen really did. See, I need Sam. I'll drag you into our world.
I've been in his world. I know that you want in his world.
I'm totally okay with that. I'm totally good with that. Listen, baby doll. So first, we'll go ahead and we'll talk. Okay, you guys, Sons of Apollo, which is one of the groups that you're working with now. I loved, and Phil and I, we've been following it for quite some time, especially with Mike and his really, really cool way of not dropping names until the very last minute on who his super group was going to be. How is it that you were able to get wrapped up and get involved with Sons of Apollo? I mean, that's a hell of a roundup of guys, all of you.
Well, we go kind of far back. me and Mike have jammed a million times all over the place.
Yeah.
We've been on tour together with Metal Allegiance. We've been on a tour bus doing it all. I've laid tracks for Metal Allegiance. And then Billy, you know, they play together and we've jammed together. I've jammed with Billy and Ray Boozer. I've jammed with Billy and Mike Portnoy. And I've laid tracks for stuff that Billy's produced. He produced Madam Mayhem. Laid guitar solos on four of her songs. So already with those two guys, we've been on stage together, we've recorded together.
Wow.
And then Derek, we jammed together. It was Mike, Billy, and Derek, and Tony McAlpine and Tony Harnell and me on Progressive Nation at Sea jamming together.
I gotcha.
So we've all crossed paths and we've all, we're not strangers to each other.
Right.
And earlier this year, Mike hit me up and said, hey, you know how we've been talking about, you know, at some point we got to put a band together?
Sure.
He's like, yeah. Well, he had this.
What are you doing, man? Right? That's one of those.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, you know, he let me know the plan, which was to hit the studio for just a week and a half, March 1st to March 11th, and write and record an entire album. Like, all right, let's do it.
Okay.
Because Bumble doesn't have any other bands.
Yeah.
So at that point, me and Derek, we started sending each other little ideas, just getting the ball rolling. And so me, Mike, and Derek, the three of us, we would have this thread going where Derek would be hitting us up with you know, little videos of him playing some keyboard part, and then I would just shoot out an MP3 of some riff I made. And then when we hit the studio, this way we had some things that we could kind of start pulling out of the hat and say, all right, what do you want to start with? And we'll just take a riff. And then by the end of the day, we've built on that. And next thing you know, we just have a whole song that we're playing live and recording live, you know, and doing it like a band, the way you're supposed to do it. You know, like we're in a room together and we're playing this thing, and what you hear on that record, you know, that's what we did.
That's exactly what you did.
Yeah, and the next morning I would come in and just double up, trying to figure out what the hell I just played the night before, and double it up so that you got a hard left, hard right speaker, you know, double rhythm guitar part, and Derek would lay 800 more keyboard parts with these crazy sounds and things.
Of course.
And we would just start working on more songs, and then Billy, he got off tour halfway through and joined us, and then it was the four of us doing that in the studio. And then when we finished up, I went home, I started laying my guitar solos and just putting the icing on the cake, all the little final guitar ideas.
Right, right.
And Derek laid some more keyboard parts, and Jeff got off tour and laid all his vocals, and that was it. We just banged it out, and that's where you're supposed to do it.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
Like, you know, the last albums I've done, it's all been like that, where at some point, everybody's been in the room together writing, recording, or both.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
And that's when the best stuff happens.
And everybody's able to kind of collaborate. And look, I mean, let's be honest here, okay? You got a bunch of veterans, all right, that are hanging out together. If you can't bang stuff out, you know, in a week...
Yeah.
I was talking about the music.
Yeah. It's all about the
band. All the guys, everybody shuts up. I'm being like for real, and I'm being like, you know, true and blue, and you know, like,
of course.
Pro.
Of course you are.
I am.
The pros that they are, they knocked it out, and it's not overproduced. And
it's not.
It's amazing.
No, not at all. I mean, everybody, I guess, Bumblefoot, when all of you guys get together, though, I mean, who goes first? Who goes
Which
first?
Which conversation are we having?
Stop it. Who goes first as far as, you know, throwing out the ideas and things like that? Don't listen to them.
You know, I have this, like, just all the laughter in the background and all the stuff about banging things out. Who goes first? I have, like, so many jokes I want to make about, like, a donkey show, but I'm not going there.
If I'm here, you already know.
Yeah.
It's a glory hole.
Stop.
We already did the acoustic donkey show. Like, name that. So, who goes first? Well, it's kind of like we all do. Like, it's, you know, there's like 30 seconds of everyone just sort of staring at each other like, okay, so...
Now what?
How do we start? And then we just say, all right, let's pick one of these riffs. How about this one? Cool. And we just start playing it together, and then you use your instincts and just everyone... has this idea of where we should go next or how to expand on the idea, and everything just starts to evolve. It's sort of, it's like planting a seed and then
it's musical loop.
Nurturing it and then allowing it to grow and flourish and
yeah. You are perfect. You are you're a doll, man. I need you to like call in like every Friday night just for.
You know, it's funny because like you've been calling me baby doll, and just by coincidence, I'm wearing a little baby doll outfit.
Well, honey,
so that's like pretty cool.
I think it's shut up, Matt. He and I are trying to have a moment. God, you guys, I can't do anything with these people here.
I don't like to share my moments with them.
Oh, I didn't realize somebody just hiked their leg.
That baby doll was awesome, let me tell you.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Mm. You know, thinking about it, and for those of you that have tuned in, you are listening to Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, hanging out with Phil Berger and Matt Healy, and we have got Bumblefoot on the phone with us right now, and of course we're talking about, you know, him working with Sons of Apollo. You do so many other projects too, you know, and how is it that you're able to juggle this incredible, crazy world that you have?
Well, like anything else, you do it. It's a big juggling act. Mm. But you know what? That's just how life is. You know, anything you do, if you think about it, you have 10 other things you got to do, and you just budget your time and you do what you got to do and you work it all out. I think what makes it trickier is that half of the bands I'm involved with are all people that have 10 other things. So everybody has to do their own juggling act and then somehow juggle together. That's what gets tricky when everyone has tours and other things. But like anything, you just have to commit, and everybody has to just set aside the time and say, okay, from here till here, we're going to commit, and you do it, and you got to stick to that. So that's the whole thing. As long as everyone honors their word and keeps their commitments, everything is cool.
That is cool. You know, I did not realize you are actually doing a couple of dates, you know, as the one-man show.
I am. I have, like, these cymbals in my knees that I smack together, and I have, like, a snare drum on my butt, and I kick my leg up and hit it.
Bumble the Buster.
And
you know, I just okay, I just want to go with you here. Okay, go ahead. just keep going, baby. I'm going to ride this one out.
So I have this accordion that I just keep flapping my elbows and pushing the accordion stuff while I'm playing guitar and singing.
You're lying.
And then I keep a kazoo on a stick.
You're
hanging
lying.
Down in front of my face that I just kind of hit that every once in a while, and yeah, it's just a whole one-man band thing.
You are lying to me. You are not doing.
You have no idea how amazing this.
I'm completely
is.
Lying about the kazoo. It's not on the stick.
Yeah, only the kazoo.
It's in his pants.
So when you're
just happy to see me, or is that a kazoo in your pants? No, I'm sorry, it's a kazoo.
He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but go ahead and blow.
when you go out for these things, now I've seen a couple of videos, and he's just, I mean, he's an absolute angel. You sing like an angel, and I've seen some of these acoustic things that you've done, and it's
an angel gargling sand.
Stop it. You've been listening to these guys too much.
Whatever.
Stop it.
So this one-man show thing, it really is, it's sort of just a combination of a lot of other stuff I've done.
Okay.
And I do the full band stuff, and I tour, and I do all that with a whole band the way it's supposed to do things.
Right.
But then I also do acoustic shows where I'm just sitting and singing and playing acoustic. And I have a little looper pedal so I can get all fancy with it, and then two acoustics or three or four. Then I do guitar clinics where I have backing tracks and playing all these whacked out, you know, just crazy guitar stuff, and talk about the science behind it all and all that stuff. And so it's almost combining little elements of everything. It's like an acoustic show, but I'm playing electric. It's like doing a clinic, only I'm leaving out all the clinical crap.
Oh, how cool.
And
that's cool.
Just, you know, it's like I'm calling it a storyteller kind of show, for lack of a better term.
Well, I was wondering, do you do any of that?
Well, it's like a storyteller show without the stories.
Okay.
So Well, I might tell some stories. It depends. Every single thing is going to be a little different. Every night is different. You don't know how it's going to go.
I got you.
Like the first night I started off, the very first one I did, started off just talking about what to call this tour, what to call these things.
Right.
We were just trying to come up with names for the tour. So there was that. So just going back and forth with the audience, trying to come up with ideas of what to call this one-man show tour. I think the two that I came up with initially were "What the Fuck Am I Doing Up Here" tour, and the other one was "I Can't Afford a Band" tour.
What are we gonna have? We're gonna have to help you with this.
GoFundMe.
Then the second night, it ended up where I started telling them about the history of this like nervous laugh thing that happens on all the tours I'm on, how it started with, it goes back to about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
For no reason, I just started talking in a Cajun accent, and I would only say three words.
Okay.
And combinations of those three words.
No reason whatsoever.
There was no reason for it. It's just like my brain snapped, and I went through a 72-hour period. That 3 days, 24 plus 24 plus 24, yes, 72. Where I would only say chicken, lesbian, onion in different sequences of those words.
What in the hell is wrong with you?
And I would say them with a Cajun accent. So, like, you know, and
chicken,
I had to work. I was like,
lesbian, and onion.
You know, I would get a phone call, whatever it was, but I stuck to it. And no matter what situation I was in, I get pulled over by the cops. Like, you know you were speeding? And I'd be like, lesbian, onion, chicken, onion, lesbian. He's like, excuse me, sir? Onion, onion, chicken. And you know, sometimes it was really tough to like, stick to that, but I did. And people would try and mess me up. Like, I was given a guitar lesson, so I'm, like, pointing to the string. I'm like, onion, chicken, chicken, onion, lesbian.
You can't.
Lesbian, onion.
He's being serious.
And then my student was, you know, right next door to the place. There was a Subway sandwich shop. So she was like, hey, let's get some Subway. Because she just wanted to see me do the stuff. So we go in there, and she's pointing to the food. She's like, all right, I'll take the turkey, the Swiss, the banana peppers, the tomatoes. Vinegar, oil, some salt, pepper, and then I go and I'm like pointing to everything. I'm like, chicken, chicken, onion, onion, lesbian, onion, onion, chicken, onion. And the person is just
made by lesbians. You know?
Yeah. So I was so, you know, I was like so committed to this that I went and I got lesbianonion.com. I got the domain. For 20 years.
Shut up. No, you did not.
Yes, I did. And I forgot about it. Because what I was going to do is I was going to make a website where it's just like a 1 hour MP3 that plays and then loops around and starts again. Well, just random, you know, onion, jiggle, jiggle, lesbian, lesbian, onion, onion, jiggle, onion, 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 jiggle, jiggle, lesbian, onion, lesbian, onion. And this just goes on and on and on nonstop. And however long you're crazy enough to listen to it. So, I, you know, and then life went on. I forgot about all this crap. Well, just last month, suddenly I get this notice from networksolutions.com. I get an email that says,
oh, God.
Your domain name is up for renewal. And I look and it says lesbianonion.com.
Oh.
Oh, my God. 20 years have passed. I renewed it.
So you renewed it.
It's the lesbian version of the onion.
So I renewed it for another couple of years.
What are you going to do with it?
Things like that. I tend to sometimes do things like that. So now, about 5 years ago, there was one period where, you know, we were all like whistling our S's. Like that started on tour where just everything was, yeah. So, how about some sausages?
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
We did it forever in saliva.
That kind of thing. And everyone started doing it. So I remember one time we had like a layover at an airport in Vienna, and I was just cracking up because all you hear from all over the airport is just like louder and lower distant echoes of just like all different like everyone talking and still doing it, and you can just hear their essence everywhere, like throughout the airport.
I would be so pissed off.
Around the same time though, I started doing this thing. I don't know how to describe it. It's just this nervous laugh where suddenly out of nowhere, in between a sentence, I would just throw it in. And it's the most awkward thing. Like, I'll be talking and then suddenly, I'll just throw in this laugh like that.
Oh, my God.
And you just have to find the right time to do it where it's, like, really just inappropriate. You know, like, maybe you're on a radio station, you start talking,
and then here it comes.
You just throw the laugh in there, and just keep on talking. And so everyone started doing that, started doing the laugh, and I kind of forgot about it. And then it started up again during the acoustic tour that I was on with Scott Stapp, where I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Matt Healy.
And we all had the urge.
On stage one day, and I just started doing it. I forgot about it. And I was like, I'm sitting there up there with an acoustic guitar, and I'm just joking around during soundcheck, like, hey, it's great to be here. It'll be a good show. Don't forget to tip your bartender.
I remember Scott walking up. And looking at him.
And that caught up. So now everyone, you know, so all the guys in the band are doing this nervous laugh. And then one of the guys on that tour that was shooting a lot of behind-the-scenes video stuff and everything.
Bryson.
Wonderful guy named Bryson Roach.
Yes.
And his brother is the vocalist of Papa Roach.
Yes.
And he was there and witnessed this and started doing it. And then even after the tour, I would get, you know, a message from him, or I would send a message like, hey, Justine, how you doing? Hope everything's okay. And, you know, the laughs would sometimes get really elaborate and just go on and get loud. So just like a week ago, I get a message from him, and it turns out that it spread throughout. Now the Papa Roach crew is doing it as well.
Oh my God,
that's awesome!
So it's like this thing is spreading all over the place.
So you've
sending me pictures.
You're spreading.
Like, you know, guys there, like, you know, and sending little audio things. I'm just. No, how you doing?
Well, that's appropriate, you know, Bumble, because I mean, it's kind of one of those things that spreads. It's like an infection. Isn't that how you got your name?
Yes, it is. That's my name. Yeah. You're not gonna keep doing it.
You know what? Stop. Okay, first, I need for you to stop because I have to pay some bills. I got to do a commercial. I got to regroup. No. I got to slap Matt Haley. He's not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere.
I'm staying.
Nobody's going anywhere. I know. I'm being dominatrix.
Commercial. What's it for?
What are you gonna do the commercial for me?
I could.
All right. One's for the broom closet.
Broom closet. All right. And I'm assuming, what do? They sell brooms or they sell closets with brooms in them? Or
actually, it belongs to a witch.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like a pagan store.
It's one of those, like, you know, yeah, alternate type of stores.
Yeah, she's also a priest or a pastor.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So the broom closet, so they sell basically everything from like people's hair to make voodoo dolls and spells on them to
Wiccan pagan
potions.
They're very cool people.
Yeah.
They're very cool people. I mean, you get your herbs, you get incense, you get some books.
How cool is it to have promotion? Ron Bumblefoot.
I totally agree. And I'm totally.
It may not be cool. It might be the shittiest promotion in the world. People are just going to stop shopping there.
Well, luckily, I can go back and recut it for you.
All right.
You know, look, Bumblefoot, don't go nowhere, okay? Okay, honey, I'm gonna start talking. All right, see, I'm gonna calm them down. Okay, don't listen to those two. All right, we're gonna be right back. I'm gonna place you on hold, sweetheart. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You two need to shut up. I swear to God. That is Rob Machete and the Pain Method for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, gone for good. And of course, working on an album. You guys expect to see some very cool news coming from the band really soon as they finish up in studio. In the meantime, we're having some fun right here on Radio Memphis, Memphis Metal Mondays. I'm joined with Phil Berger and Mr. Matt Healy. And it just occurred to me as I'm staring at you, Fleshy.
Yeah.
That's his nickname for those of you who do know him. Okay, that wasn't like totally on purpose.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. I do this thing. Have you been catching some of the stuff I do with the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series? And I'm looking at you going, I need to sit down with you. And do an interview.
We've talked about this.
And we have.
Timing's the problem.
It is. Because I know you're getting ready to go out on the road again.
That's in December.
When are you going?
December 1st is the first night of the tour.
Okay, and you're going out with Shinedown, right?
It's Zach and Brent from Shinedown on the little acoustic intimate venues.
Okay, well, yeah, that's it. I know. They've always got you dragging all over the place.
Well, I am handling all the VIPs on that and handling all the meet and greets, which is the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You've done a lot of stuff, and I said we're so close, you know, we love you here, and of course, you know, I got a special place in my heart for you, baby. But we need to sit down,
not just your heart.
Stop it. We need to sit down and do some stuff. And the reason why I'm even bringing this up, of course, you know, tonight, you guys, if you were tuned in a little bit earlier, we had our road tip, you know, from Batty Walsh all the way from the UK, and I forgot to share some news with Batty, so I was teasing him this entire time and said, okay, I'll share it on air. You guys know that we started in October. We started the Radio Memphis Load-In radio show. It happens on the first Thursday of every month. And it's where some of the guys, you know, call back in. We do roundtables. We have a lot of fun. And, of course, I haven't announced it yet. I'm not going to until this week. You guys need to pay attention to the Radio Memphis Facebook pages because we've got some really cool people that are coming up on this next show. But my news to you, Batty, is that for those of you that, you know, have tuned in, and you are going to tune in on the first Thursday of every month, as soon as you hear the brand new episode, you're going to hear an encore presentation of the episode that was in the prior month. So for those of you who missed the very first Radio Memphis Load-In, it had Batty, and it had Ken Barr, had Dan Stevenson calling in, and it was such a fun kickoff, and it was a fun moment. So for coming on the first, you know, coming up on November 2nd, you know, for the second Radio Memphis Load-In, After the new show is finished, we're going to actually do a repeat. We're going to do an encore presentation. So those of you will be able to hear Batty again. And Batty, that's for you, man, for everybody in the UK that tunes in and stuff like that. That way you guys can catch it then, too, when you're having your morning tea. All right, so there's the news. No, I'm not getting married. No, I am not pregnant.
Oh, good. Who are we interviewing next Monday?
Okay, coming up next Monday.
Oh, okay, enough of that. All right.
Yeah, you like that?
More importantly. Who are we interviewing right now?
Very true.
We're doing Bumblefoot right now.
Bumblefoot?
Yes. Yes, we're doing Bumblefoot. So we're bringing Bumblefoot back in.
Yeah.
But for next Monday, we'll talk about that later and stuff. I want to talk to Bumblefoot. Hey, baby. Yeah.
Alrighty.
How are you doing, baby?
Good. You sure you're not pregnant?
I'm positive. You know, I'm so positive. I with heart of all hearts, honey. I promise.
I mean, things happen.
I understand. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to my significant other now. It's like, baby, I didn't do anything.
So right now, I'm fertile. You may be pregnant just sitting next to me.
If you're pregnant, you know, you can tell me.
Can you save me from what's sitting next to me? Yeah.
Nobody can save me from this.
Look, let's dive back into Bumblefoot's world and see what he's got going on. You know, we were talking about some of the processes that you have for writing and stuff and working with the guys. And of course, then we got to talking about, and for those of you that are hanging out with us, you know, kind of tuning in, we talked about the one man shows that you're doing, the acoustic stuff, and you've got a couple of dates that you're going to be getting into. And I was looking on your website, and I see that one of them you're going to be on the 18th. You're going to be in Las Vegas. You're going to be...
I will be, yes.
Yeah. So you've got a couple of 18th,
playing at Vamped in Vegas on October 18th. That's just coming right up. And then on the 19th, I'll be at the Whiskey in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then on the 20th, a place called the Merrow in San Diego.
Gotcha.
Yeah, then I come home for a couple of days, and then I'm teaching a class at NYU. The next day I go off to China.
Yeah, I see the Asian dates and stuff like that. And see, look, that's all the crazy stuff that you've got. You know, you're teaching, you're doing a one man band, you know, you're on Sons of Apollo, you're everywhere. I'm so
he's only home like maybe it seems like 4 days a month at most. He's every time I look at his schedule, he's gone.
Oh yeah. I mean, how do you have family? How do you manage?
Family comes out to visit, or
okay.
Well, here's how we're working. Okay, my little cousin is getting married out in Long Island. The wedding is at 6 p.m. on Saturday. So I finish the gig in San Diego on Friday. I stay up. I go straight to the airport, wait a few hours there, and jump on the earliest plane they have to JFK.
Okay.
So instead of flying home, just coordinating everything. So I land in JFK around 4:30 in the afternoon. The wedding is in Long Island at 6. My wife is leaving New Jersey at 3 p.m. She gets to JFK at 4:30, picks me up with my change of clothes.
Wow.
And continue driving and get there wearing my suit at 6.
Wait a minute.
Work at all that. Like, you just
figure out
ways.
I've never seen you change clothes. You've always
worn it's kind of like you know, like a space mission. It's like you got to just kind of catch the orbit at the right time and zip around and all that kind of stuff.
I guess.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man. Just out of curiosity, I want to go back to the very beginning.
You mean like
when you were a zygote
years ago?
Well, I mean,
baby Bumblefoot.
Baby Bumblefoot. I want to talk about.
Okay.
Oh yeah. See, I want to talk about baby Bumblefoot.
You want to talk about when I was a baby?
I want to talk about right when you were getting ready to pick up that guitar and you thought that this was going to be a good idea. I do want to know this because I mean seriously, I mean, how did you get here? What made you do this?
Well, I was 5 years old and I heard the Kiss Alive album.
What is it with the Kiss Alive album, man? It has touched everybody, dude. That is so cool.
I think they put subliminal messages in there or something, because everyone who heard that album said, that's what I want to do.
I know.
And we talked about this. That's what happened. So by the time I was 6, I had a band with an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, and we were writing original songs, and we were making demos using multiple cassette recorders to do our own multi-track recording, and just, you know, you record on one, different distances to get levels, you know.
At 8 and 9 years old,
you'd have our little acoustic guitars right up against it, and the drums would be 10 feet back, and that's how we balance the levels.
Damn.
We would play that one back while singing and record onto another one, and that's how we overdubbed, and we would make demos that way, and we would put on shows in my basement, my backyard, at the school I went to. We would cut up homemade confetti into little cups to throw in the air at the end of the show. We did everything a band would do.
And we just did it so
with
cool.
You know, whatever we had access to as children.
That is so fantastic. And that's when you knew?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I knew, and I got right to work.
This whole time, I thought he came from, like, outer space.
I got the real...
I thought he was brought here from another planet.
He kind of was. I mean, my God, he started this when he was, like, 8 or 9 years old, and he was, you know, and you got all these cool ideas going.
Space years, he was already 77.
Well, no, he's not that.
Yeah, but I was a wacky kid. I was a weird kid, you know. Like, everybody would be playing baseball or football in the street and, you know, front of the house, and I would be in the backyard, like, reading encyclopedias and like, taking notes.
Oh, you were that kid.
So I was a brainiac. I was that weird kid.
You were a pen-packing nerd.
You know, it's funny, because I wasn't really nerdy, because...
Oh, yeah?
There was all that, but at the same time, you know, I was the long-haired kid that wouldn't be part of anybody's clique and would be invited to be and
nice
and yeah I was kind of the loner that kind of did his own thing, yet I had friends. Like, it was weird.
You were that cool loner. It was one of those, like, you looked really cool doing it, so everybody wanted to be in your world for a second, and so
I didn't want anybody there.
And you didn't want any.
Except for a select few. And which is funny is that now, like, life has swung around where, like, there's a friend of mine that I knew between grades 1 and 5 that I see now, and, like, I see him more now, like, all these years later. He works in Dubai, and he works in Paris a lot.
Okay.
And we're always in the same place at the same time. He lives a half hour away from me, but in 40 years, I don't see him. But I'll go to, like, I was just in Paris, and we grabbed dinner. And we see each other now all the time.
You're supposed to be in each other's world, apparently. Hey, let's go. Let's go back to the you know, the whole dimension thing. Remember, we started the conversation with this.
So yeah, so that's how I started. I heard Kiss when I was 5. That's what I wanted to do. I started legitimately doing this when I was 6, and was very dedicated and focused, and stayed that way.
That is crazy.
What was your What was your first touring band?
My first what?
The first band you toured with.
First band I toured with, first thing, well, I guess my own stuff, because I was always just doing original stuff. I wasn't really playing in other people's bands unless it was just side stuff, like a cover band with friends, or just doing a favor for somebody, or just always side things. Like, my thing was my focus. So my first tours, my first real tours, like overseas stuff, was in my mid-20s. I put out my first album on Shrapnel Records and Roadrunner Records in the mid-90s, and that's when I started doing touring, solo touring, band touring, all that stuff.
Right.
I didn't really join another band until Guns.
Who?
Like, I played with a million other people and did lots of other things, and I produced tons and tons of bands.
Right.
But as far as calling myself an actual real member of someone else's band, Guns was the only time that I strayed from my own thing and made something else the priority.
Right.
That's kind of.
And since then, I did it with Art of Anarchy, and now it'll be Sons of Apollo as well.
Right. Well, you know, and it's funny, Bumble. You know, when you bring that up, because when you were talking about Shrapnel Records, late '80s and stuff. Mike Varney got a hold of some of your music, or you actually winded up submitting some stuff, and they were so taken aback because they were even doing some things like comparing you to the likes of Frank Zappa, you know, and so to hear your style, you know, and what you did, you know, around your music and the styles, you know, kind of for me, you know, and it makes sense because your music is music, and you know, and you're able to play and do whatever, but for somebody who was in charge of a label and that was in charge of all of these guitar players and in charge of making sure that they had, you know, everybody had this identity and stuff, to actually go ahead and see that in you and then kind of watch the route you took was a little surprising. And I don't, you know, I don't even know if you realized kind of where you were at that time and how genius you were yet. I don't think you did.
I don't know if I was a genius. And I was just, you know what, I was doing what everybody does, which is just speaking your mind through your music and just telling the truth and, you know, not being shy or not hiding the fact that I was a quirky, busy-minded kind of person, and let it out. I wasn't afraid to share that. I wasn't trying to be cool. I wasn't trying to follow the pack of whatever, you know, the sound of the moment was. It's like, hey, this is me. This is what I do. And even if I tried to sound like something else, it wouldn't work, because for better or worse, the bigger part of me that says, no, you need to be authentic, or you're not even you, you're nothing, that takes over.
Wow. You have that thing in you, don't you?
Well, you have to. I mean, if you don't, what the hell are you? You know, every single person on this earth has something unique about them that makes everything complete.
Yes.
Every one of us is a little bit of that burst of energy that started everything. And if any of us deny who we are or hide who we are, it's leaving a little hole, it's leaving a gap, it's leaving a break in that web, and it's doing an injustice and disservice to all existence. You gotta be who the fuck you are.
There it is. And you said it. And you said it. Which, you know, sweetheart, it speaks volumes, you know, of you and who you are. Because one of the things, you know, that I did learn, I learned that you try so much to insert yourself where there's needs, you know, whether it be children in music programs, you know, whether it be, you know, people as far as with counseling, you know, whether it be for whatever. And it's not even so much that you insert yourself, but you almost run to it. You know, you run with the need to do so. You know, and you know, kudos to you. That speaks volumes. You have no idea. It speaks volumes.
Well, I mean, I think if you do what you can, that's all. And I think everybody does.
Well, sure.
We do, even if we do a little bit or if we do a lot, we all, as long as we're all doing what we can, that's what matters. And I think we all do.
That's the way it's supposed to be, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get a little bit of guitar nerd question in here.
Okay, yeah, the guitar nerd Phil.
That's not by me.
No, Matt.
Cool, man. Cool.
I'll just sell the merch, okay?
So like most guitar players, I myself find myself fascinated by your fretless playing. And as I've listened to the Sons of Apollo album over the last week or so, how many of those solos were actually played fretless, and how the hell do you conceptualize that?
You know, it's not that tough. You just have to, just got to play the thing, you know? Just put your hands on it and start playing, just like a guitar or a bass or drums or keys or anything.
Because there's parts that I hear that
just do
I
it.
Swear.
I mean, think of it this way. It's like a cello or a violin.
Yeah.
You know, if a 5-year-old kid can play the violin and kick butt at it and do all this classical stuff, then a 40-something-year-old dude's got to be able to find his way around a
sure
guitar, fretless guitar.
Because there's parts on the album, and especially on the last track on the album, Opus Maximus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a part in there where it's, I swear, you're playing fretted. But then I hear some of the vibrato going, and it's like, well, there's no way that's a fretted guitar.
yeah, you just want to make sure you hit the note where you're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
But yeah, throughout all the rhythms and solos, I'm hopping back and forth between the two necks, going fretted and fretless. Anytime you hear anything that sounds like a 7-string, that's the fretless.
Really?
Yeah, and when you hear those wide vibratos that are like obvious fretless. I'm keeping the fretted neck in a drop D, and then the fretless neck, I'm just tuning down the sixth string down to a drop B as if it was like the 7th string of a 7-string.
7-string guitar, sure. Interesting. You know, like I said, I know that like listening to it, there's places where my brain was seriously warped because I'm like, okay, that last part was fretted, and now I definitely are fretless. Mm-hmm. But it's not a recording trick. It's stole one part.
Got to figure.
So yeah, yeah. Let me say, I can run through a few. Let me see. God of the Sun, most of that is fretless. The solo is, the verses, the choruses are not. Everything else, I think, might be on the fretless. On Coming Home, it's a whole lot of fretless, except for the chorus or the pre-chorus and the second half of the guitar solo. I switched to the fretted neck, and the end soloing stuff is fretted. Signs of the Time verses and main riffs, those are all fretless. Chorus and pre-chorus and the guitar solo are fretted. Labyrinth, that one, the verses are fretless. And then the chorus is fretted. Then it's just all over the place, hopping back and forth. And
you're making them think.
Yeah, I know. I like
that. A lot of neck jumping.
I mean, it's
now when I listen to it the next time, I'm going to be like sitting there.
I understand. I mean, it sounds.
I hear the friend.
Yeah, okay, it sounds good.
I'm just hearing downloads.
I'm just.
Back in the day, that would have been. I'm hearing panties drop.
I'm just hearing another download and another download and another download.
Yeah, I just. Everybody needs to. I think so.
Yeah, on Friday you need to like everyone needs to be waiting in line to download this album, this album.
You need to buy it.
You know, in whatever market you buy it from, whether it's iTunes, Amazon, all the rest of it.
All of it.
You gotta get the Sons of Apollo, you gotta go get back and get the little brother's watch.
Mm-hmm. But yes, and actually it would be really cool, you know, Bumblefoot, if we can play some of your other stuff, some of your solo stuff.
Anything you want to play.
I would love to, so yeah, because I know we've got that connection as far as with emails and stuff like that, so if you want to send some stuff over, I want to definitely start playing that. I popped up, you know, when one of your videos, you know, on the Metal Mondays page, you know, tonight, it was really well done, you know, brothers watching, and I was just like, wow, you know, you look like you had just a ton of fun doing the video.
A lot of gold makeup.
I know it was really cool.
I like doing videos.
And that's the thing, man, the whole concept video, and I've been screaming this at everybody, it was like, have some fun, you know, it's not about just getting up on stage and doing your performance. I mean, make a story, have some fun, do something with it. Yeah, yours was cool.
So have you seen the video to Don't Know Who to Pray To Anymore?
I started watching that. I haven't watched it fully through because
might be my favorite song on the album.
Yeah,
cool. The video, that one definitely, it's three stories that all lead to a point where the person has to make like a life changing, you know, they're at a fork in the road and they have to make a decision, but you don't see what they decide. It just kind of leaves you at that point. And then they sort of come together a little bit.
Okay. Well, now we're going to get the music and stuff. This has got to happen.
Hmm. If you want to hard
that, that video was filmed in three countries. We built like, was it 8 different sets or even 12 sets? Like 50 people involved. All this like mass coordinating. Like I'm filming at this Roman bathhouse in Israel that we got exclusive access to while they're filming.
Wow, how cool is that?
The, you know, hospital scenes that they actually built a hospital set in this place and taking care of that, and then met up with them in the last 2 days out in Croatia and filmed everything at this big fortress.
Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. Well, look, let me do this. We're going to play one more set of commercials, and I'm going to play another Sons of Apollo song, and then when we come back, before we get done with you, I'm going to ask you some questions about what you would tell the up-and-coming generations and about some of the things that you're producing. I want to talk about some of the things when you're working with indies and stuff like that.
Great.
All right, so don't go anywhere for me, baby, okay?
Alrighty.
Those of you that are hanging out with us, Memphis Metal Mondays are right here. And of course, a nice surprise visit from Mr. Matt Healy. Thank you, baby, for coming in and spending some time with me. And of course, my guest host, who's always my co-host, man. Yeah. Phil Berger, man. Y'all, we're having some.
Your Starbucks bitch.
My He said it. I'm just letting you
yes,
know.
Yes, I did.
Sons of Apollo for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning into Memphis Metal Mondays, coming home off the album Psychotic Symphony. It will be out October the 20th, this Friday, via Inside Music, Inside Out Music, and Sony Music. Make sure you get your hands on that. That rocks. It's absolutely insane. And not only does that rock, what also rocks is the fact that we've got Bumblefoot hanging out with me, Mr. Phil Berger, and Matt Healy. Hey, baby. How are you doing, honey?
Doing good.
Man, that jams. That rocks. That just flat ass rocks.
Yeah, that's one of the more like straight up songs. Like a lot of this stuff gets really progressive, but this one you can hear the inspiration of all the old Van Halen we used to listen to.
That's it.
All that kind of stuff.
See, now that makes sense all of a sudden, because I mean that one was just I was ready. I'm like, I'm ready to rock. Yeah, I was ready. Good stuff.
Nice.
Congratulations, you know, on the collaborations, you know, with all the guys and Sons of Apollo. You guys have done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of fun for you. And for all the other things, it was so funny. We were on break. And, you know, Matt and Phil and I, we were talking about some of the other things that you also get involved with. You know, some of the humanitarian stuff. He was talking about stuff with...
the dog rescue.
The dog rescues and things like that. So I didn't even know you did that.
Oh, I'm always jumping around and getting involved in all kinds of things, whatever I can.
Good for you. That's good for you. Very good for you. Well, sweetheart, you know, earlier, you know, before we took the break, I told you that, you know, I was going to ask you, you know, kind of some poignant questions. And, you know, as I was telling you earlier when we got started, you know, here on Radio Memphis, we have a lot of unsigned and indie artists, you know, that get really inspired, you know, and this is that musician's, you know, radio station. They like to tune in. They like to hear from people like you, you know, for some advice and things like that. You know, you've got people that are starting in the business, or you got people that are just picking up that guitar for the first time, or, you know, they're learning how to sing for the first time, and you know they're just now getting started in the business the way it is now. What's the first thing that you're going to tell these individuals?
The first thing that I could tell them, I feel like there's like a funnel with like all this information that I want to like cram through and
I know
and say and try and where do you begin? Let's begin with rule number one.
Okay,
don't be late. Do not be fucking late. You don't exactly. Leave people waiting. You don't disrespect them like that. You don't.
Thank you.
You just don't.
You don't.
If you're supposed to be somewhere at 11, you make sure you're there at 10:45, 10:30, and you wait.
Exactly.
And don't make other people wait. You be on time. You communicate. You let them know that you're on your way. You never let people stress out wondering.
Perfect.
You need people to trust you and know that they can depend on you, and you need to live up to that. So, be on time. And when I say on time, that means you be early.
Perfect.
Not musician
time. That's first. Where do you go from there? Let me see. What do bands need to know? Business-wise.
Yeah.
You can do so much more yourself, and try and be as self-reliant as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to manage, learn how to tour manage, learn how to be a booking agent, learn how to design your promo, learn how to do all these things.
Perfect.
So that if you do have to hire other people to do it, at least you know when they're doing it right, and you know it goes into it, so you have realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to pick up the ball and run with it, you can.
Perfect.
Definitely get the experience and the understanding of all the moving parts that go into making that machine run.
That's exactly it. And I am so glad you say that. You know, I spent a lot of time, especially during Radio Memphis Around the World, doing the tips and tricks, you know, and one of my catchphrases, you know, your band is your brand and your brand is your business. And I tell everybody all the time, how can you hand something over to somebody if you don't know, you don't understand your own, you know, your own business? Why would you put it in somebody else's hands? And, you know, and you couldn't have summed it up better, you know, as to why, you know, and that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and what else? What else?
Yeah, give me some more.
There's so many things. Whatever you're fighting about, it ain't that important, and it's not worth fighting about, probably. It's probably nothing, and you're just being petty and childish and stupid. Learn how to flow with things and roll with things and see where it goes. And what your opinion is nothing more than that. It's not necessarily right. And you can learn a lot from being wrong. So allow yourself the room to grow and learn some things. So just take a step back. Even if you feel really strongly about something, shut up and see where it goes and just roll with it and figure it out from there. Too many people, I see so many bands that never reach their potential because they get so wrapped up in stupid little petty things that aren't even worth, you know, they're just the wrong battles, you know. Save your energy for the big wars, you know.
Right.
Don't get into that stupid little stuff. Don't be controlling. Work together. That's a major one. And also keep in mind that it's not going to be even when you work together. Not everyone is going to contribute evenly, because some people can't. They have strengths in different places than you. But if everyone pulls their abilities, you can get some things done.
Perfect. You're amazing. That's good stuff. I got, you know, of course, you know, I was telling everybody earlier about the road tip, and I was talking to, you know, Batty. He was my UK connection. He's still tuned in, and he was like, these are great tips, Bumble.
Cool. Yeah, so. I mean, I can go and go and go and go.
Of course, of course. You know, and the biggest thing, you know, sweetheart, I think the biggest thing is also, too, is you know, the things that you're laying out, you know, for somebody who's new to the business, or somebody who's just learning how to, you know, play the instrument, or do whatever it is, or be in the business. It doesn't even necessarily have to be an instrument per se, is that, you know, a lot of the things that will make you successful are actually some of the things that you can control while you try to figure all the rest of it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of a very important one, the most important one of all.
Yeah.
Fuck the business. No. Forget about that stuff.
Oh.
Your job is not to get, to receive, is to give. You're supposed to be creating art. You're supposed to be doing things that move people.
Nice.
If your interest is in how much money you can make, or how much attention you can get, or, you know, whatever it is like that, then fuck off.
Bingo.
Don't waste everybody's time with fake stuff and bullshit.
Bingo.
So go do something else. But if you want to be a musician, be real, be authentic, be legitimate, and don't think about this like commerce. Don't think of it like, how can we make money? You know how you make money? By not giving a shit, and by making things that people care about and they will value it. Because it's not up to you. The only thing you should be doing is putting the most real stuff into the world, and then the world will decide from there.
Nice. Perfect. I don't know how you can top that.
Words of wisdom of Bumblefoot.
You can't top that. Yeah, I can. You can't even top.
It was just a segment for Bumblefoot to give tips.
Yeah, no.
So that's the thing about the business. Like, honestly, people make the mistake. They think, I mean, yeah, it's a business, kind of. It's more like the Wild West. But
it's a fucking mess right now.
You know, if your goal is to make money, go get a job. Go make some money. But don't expect music or, you know, you should be making music for the purpose of making music. And if there's any other reason other than this inexplicable need to put these sounds out there that touch people and connect people, that's why you do this.
Nice.
And, you know, the best thing you can do is go get a job doing something else while you're making money, so that you can fund your music making, your passion.
Wow.
So that's another mistake people make, is that they put it all on the music, and you don't have to be a starving artist. You just have to be an artist.
You just have to be. That's it. You said it.
Everybody starves.
You said it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's the way
money comes and goes, and and the only thing that matters is that you are giving something of value to the world, and that's your goal.
That is perfect. You are an amazing man, and I can't thank you enough for those words. I really can't. You know, and I can't make you understand how much. There was probably a ton of people that probably needed to hear this, you know, and I'm so glad that it came in the manner that you put it out there, sweetheart. You did it. It's fantastic. Great job.
Thank you. I'm only sharing, you know, the lessons I learned.
And I'm glad.
A million more to learn.
I'm glad. And, you know, I tell you one thing. Now that we've developed this relationship, okay?
It's not a relationship.
It is. Don't you start with me, Matt Healy. You about ruined it. You know, Bumble and I had this really cool thing going on in the beginning, and you two butted in. So I'm going to close back in on what I got going on with this man over here. When and actually, it was going to include you, Mr. Healy. So if you would have just been quiet, anytime that Matt comes through and stuff, you have to let us call you from time to time when we're doing this metal show. You have to let us call you because I want to hear about the dimensions. I want to hear about outer space. I want to hear the laugh that doesn't make any sense. And I want
to. Cajun laugh.
And I want to know what the hell you do with the Lesbian Onion website.
I'm going to have to do something at some point with that.
What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I have to
almost
know.
Start hashtagging everything with it.
Hashtag
later. See, and now it's going to become a thing. It's going to become
matter
a thing.
Matter of fact, I'm about to do it right now. I'm about to tweet it out.
Right now.
Listen, sweetheart, I know it's late for you. And I know we've kept you on the phone all night tonight. You've been such a sport and having so much fun with us. You've made my night. I don't even care about that.
Good. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Thought it was me.
You know, it was. And then there was Ron Thal Bumblefoot, you know, yes. Yeah. Esquire. So when it's all said and done, baby, if you need anything from us, and I'm going to send you a message, you know, email and stuff like that. I'd love to get some of the other stuff you've got going on, all your solo stuff, and we'll definitely play it here, you know, on Radio Memphis. We will be checking in with you from time to time. You're probably going to become a bit around here. It's going to be what would Bumblefoot do, you know, and we're going to call Bumblefoot.
If you can't make it, just go.
it's like shaking the magic eight ball, or it's like, you know,
shake the magic Bumblefoot.
Yeah, shake the magic Bumblefoot, you know.
Shake the magic Bumble Ball.
Yeah, the magic Bumble Ball. Shake, you know, what would he do? You know, answers all point to yes. So we're going to call you, and we're going to consult you. You're going to be our oracle. You know, so that we can guide ourselves through this industry that we're in the middle of. Congratulations on the Sons of Apollo, you know, dropping this weekend. Congratulations on your one man band shows, you know, that you're getting ready to kick off and get into and stuff like that. Again, Las Vegas is coming up, so you're gonna have a lot of fun there.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. If you need anything, you've let me know, not them.
Just for that.
Actually.
Yeah?
He's kind of in the mood for a steak, medium rare, about 10 ounces.
That's Matt's job.
That sounds like our meal in Washington.
Yeah. Okay. I got this agent. Now, look, if you would have asked for like some stir fry, you know, like, you know, some kind of stir fry, you know, vegetables, you know, pepper steak or some kind of meat and that kind of thing, you know, some egg rolls, I could have hooked you up.
It's
basically stir fry just without stirring it and frying it.
It's stir fry without cutting it, without throwing it in a wok.
Basically, it's stir fry before you really get into it. It's like step one, and then you don't just stopping there and not going to step two and three. So it should be easier, no?
It's not as involved and intimate and stuff. No.
It's a big piece of meat.
I know. You just don't just chunk a piece of meat on a, you know, frying pan and just or grill and just chunk it there and chunk it off, and it's like it's so weird. It's,
chunk it off.
Yeah, chunk it off. It's you got it. You know, and it's
what
just,
are you doing to my meat?
Exactly. See, I mean, and it was, you know, and it's so impersonal. I mean, you need to like caress it.
You need to be personal with my meat.
You need to caress it, right? And you need to be, you know, you need to like, you know,
I'm doing that right now.
See? Oh my god. Okay, I can't do it anymore. I was trying to hold it.
What a way to end.
Trying to hold it.
In the Monday evening.
Were you trying to hold it or die? She's melting, dude.
I'm supposed to be the one that's in charge.
With Diana crying and uncontrollably not being able to be part of the show anymore. I've done my job.
That's okay. I can be part
She's
of
melting
this.
Like butter.
I can be so part of this show. Don't let them fool you. Do not let them fool you.
Well, there's a cam up there.
I understand that there's a camera up there, and I'm not going to stare at it.
Different
I'm just
kind
going
of show.
To listen to the voice of Bumblefoot because he's going to guide me to the land of the free.
Guide me to life.
You can find us on
lesbiononionchicken.com
for that other show.
Bumblefoot, the best place for everybody to find everything you've got going on, where would we send them?
Lesbiononion.com.
If that becomes his new website, that'll be amazing.
Shut up! Stop! Oh, damn you!
We see on his Facebook page.
She was almost okay for about 2 seconds.
Bumblefoot. So bumblefoot.com. If you go to facebook.com/bumblefoot, twitter.com/bumblefoot, instagram.com/bumblefoot, youtube.com/bumblefoot, lesbiananion.com/bumblefoot.
And he will answer. Honey, I love you, and I need for you to go now because I can't see.
It's in her eye, man. It's in her eye. It must be the onions.
It's all in my
it's
eye.
It's in the onions.
I'm crying. I am in tears.
I'm sorry. Did I get it in your eye?
You got. Oh, I'm not wearing it as a necklace.
She hasn't ended a Monday in this way in a long time.
I haven't. It's been a minute.
I haven't been in here in a long time.
Oh, God, all of you, every last one of you, you have so made my night. Thank you so much, baby, for hanging out.
It's been like one big hot Carl.
Good night, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm over each other's backs and you and stuff and... It's been a good time.
It's been a fantastic time. And I love you. I'm hanging up on you now.
No, wait.
I
just watched the torch of hers green right now.
I can't even see. I got mascara running down my face. I hate you people. Stop it. Bumble, I love you. I hate you people. You people suck.
Ron, thank you so much.
We're gonna You'll have a wonderful onion, night. It's like, been a pleasure.
The trending tomorrow.
We'll talk soon, baby.
Love you, my brother. I'll give you a call.
Cool, man. Y'all have a great night.
You too. Bye. I hate you too. I hate you. I can't even see. Oh my God.
Dad's gonna be so proud tomorrow.
I don't care.
Chicken. Onion.
I did kind of miss you too, you know, Fleshy, but it doesn't compare to Bumblefoot.
Imagine me and him together on the road.
At the same time?
You know what she's thinking.
Look, let me play one more song before we get out of here. You guys are tuned in to Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, hanging out with Matt Healy and Phil Berger. Thank you so much, Bumblefoot, for spending some time with us right here in Radio Memphis. Guys, don't forget, grab the album, Sons of Apollo, drops this Friday, October the 20th. It's killer. How about My Next Crush?
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.